We are back on In Focus News Radio KMAN, and we've continue our great lineup of guests here today. We've got a great show, and I'm going to cap it off with Robin Cole, Executive Director with Pawnee Mental Health. Thank you for being here today.
It's good to be here.
It's cold out there, isn't it?
You know, it is cold, but it's not as cold as it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's not precipitating, at least right at the moment it's not.
Yeah, thank goodness. You know, schools are in session today, so that's good. Hopefully that continues. I know kids don't agree with me on that, but...
Nope. Except they will if they have to make up school days later on in the year.
Exactly. And school gets out early this year. I think it's like May 13th is for at least in Manhattan. Well, how have you been doing? We haven't talked to you since last year.
That's right. That was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But 2020 is off to a good start. Things never slow down. But that's okay, because it says that we all have a job to do, and we all have things that we can do to make a difference in the lives of people in Manhattan and the surrounding area.
Well, and we're going to talk here today about the Crisis Stabilization Center, and I know you last week met with the joint city-county-county meeting here with Riley County, Pottawatomie County, and the City of Manhattan officials, just kind of giving them an update of where you're at with that.
That's right. And it was a great meeting. It was a great opportunity to talk about what's happening at the Crisis Stabilization Center. This has been a really needed service for the city of Manhattan, the surrounding area, and Pawnee's whole 10-county catchment area. We had the opportunity to really get started on this back in fiscal year 2018, when we were awarded a $725,000 grant from the Kansas Department of Aging and Disability Services to begin this program. And that grant was available because the state of Kansas had already recognized that there was a need for this level of mental health care in our communities. We've relied heavily on either community mental health centers or the state psychiatric hospitals to respond to the mental health needs throughout our state. And there are too many variations in terms of what people need, and too many other places along the way that people could stop and receive care and avoid hospitalizations altogether. And that is what the funding of the Crisis Stabilization Center allowed for us to do. So we received this startup money in fiscal year 2018, and we had a wall breaking in April of 19, and then we opened our doors in November of 19. We were able within 6 months to go from knocking the first hole in the wall to opening the door to the public and letting them in to take a look at it, and then begin providing services. So we're really excited about that, and I need to do a shout out to our partners at BHS Construction. They're the ones that really made it happen and that got the project going. And, were able to get us from start to finish within that really compact time period. So they did a great job for us. We had the startup costs for this facility, and that includes, of course, gutting the existing facility and working with an architect to design the facility and then building it out was about $1.1 million. And so that didn't quite cover, or the grant from KDADS didn't quite cover all of our startup expenses. And so we were and are very delighted that the Goldstein Foundation saw it fitting to give us a $200,000 grant. It is a matching grant. And so what the Goldstein Foundation will do is that they will match dollar for dollar every dollar that is contributed towards those startup costs for the Crisis Stabilization Center. And they'll do it in $25,000 increments. And so we're in the middle of a campaign to find individuals in the community who are interested in helping us support the startup of this program. I'm thrilled to report that we've already received approximately $75,000 in donations from people. We've had a couple of large donors, and I think that there'll be some information coming out about those large donors fairly soon. And then we've had just a lot of individuals who weren't in a position to be able to make a really big donation, but who've been able to show their support, show their passion for providing crisis stabilization services in our community by making smaller contributions. So we're really delighted with the progress that is being made in identifying people who want to get behind this project and who want to help support it. And again, we're really grateful to the Goldstein Foundation for expressing that level of confidence and trust and commitment in this project, and then encouraging other people to demonstrate that same level of commitment and participation in the project.
Well, that's wonderful to have that much support here in our community. People recognizing how much of a need Pawnee plays here in our community in terms of mental health. I'm curious, going forward, to continue funding the Stabilization Center in year two and year three, you're probably going to need more of that kind of help.
Absolutely. And we have also received charitable contributions for the operations of the facility, but not for the construction or the startup costs. Kansas Health Foundation, for example, gave us a $25,000 grant to help provide case management services in the Crisis Stabilization Center. We also received a second substantial grant from the state of Kansas in this fiscal year for $700,000. And the reason that level of funding is so important is that Medicaid is the only payer source for this level of care. And so, you know, in Kansas, we're right in the middle of a discussion about the issue of Medicaid. Kansas is one of just a handful of states that have not approved Medicaid expansion. And when I go back and take a look at the individuals who used the Crisis Stabilization Center during the months of November and December, which were the first 2 months that we were open, only 41% had a payer source that would pay for them to be there. And again, that's Medicaid only. And we had it was about 41.5% of the services we provided at the Crisis Stabilization were payable by Medicaid. 30% of the services that we provided there were to individuals who had no insurance at all. And so this is that group of people who don't have Medicaid, they don't have commercial insurance, they're not covered by anything. And so they're the individuals who we won't get paid a penny for. And so those are the individuals for whom it's really important for us to have the state funding. But then there's another group of individuals who you wouldn't think of as being the individuals who would need to have charitable care available to them, because those are the individuals who have health insurance. So those are the individuals who have Blue Cross and Blue Shield, the folks who have Medicare, the folks who are covered by TRICARE, the folks who have other commercially available health insurance. And again, we don't stereotypically think of them as being underinsured. But when it comes to this level of crisis care, folks who have that insurance, we do not get paid for their use of the Crisis Stabilization Center, except for a very few number of services that we're able to provide there. So for example, individuals who need that level of care, who have a commercial insurance, that commercial insurance typically will pay for the assessment. And so when they come out and we meet with them and determine that, yes, you know, this is a level of care that you need, we can get reimbursed by their commercial insurance for that. And then if they need to see a psychiatrist because maybe they have a need for medications while they're on the in the stabilization center, then their insurance will pay for that. And if they have an hour of therapy with a master's level clinician, their insurance will pay for that. But their insurance won't pay for any of the other costs of their being there. And so that's part of why for community mental health centers, for crisis stabilization centers, this issue of Medicaid expansion is a pretty important question. Because when there's so few number of people who have that level of care, then in order to provide, or who have that level of coverage, in order to provide this level of care, the revenue or the funding has to come from somewhere. And so the funding is either going to have to come from federal, state, local tax dollars. At this point, the funding's coming from state tax dollars. And there is strong indication that that the state will continue to provide that level of care or that level of funding. But if there's anything that might keep me awake at night, it would be that issue of providing this level of care and not having that funding available to make up the difference between what our costs are and what Medicaid is paying for those for that 40% who have coverage. Mm-hmm.
We have a caller here with a question. Let's get to them. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Yes, there is a big need for your services out here on the street. And I can see here lately a big change in the mentally ill in town from your services. Thank you for that. I wish that you had a scanning. We could get the money up to get you a brain scan so that you could tell whether we're dealing with an opioid process from when they were teenagers and had their wisdom teeth out and were addicted to the opioid in one or two pills and now are meth heads, or whether it could be a football injury, the concussion, or having tripped and fallen down the stairs as a youth. Thank you so much. You're making a big change. It was an unserved need in this town, and there's a big demand. And some way we need to have those who are refusing help to also get service. Thank you for being there.
Thank you so much for that call and for that encouragement. I really appreciate it. You know, in the couple of years leading up to the to this project and the opening of the Crisis Stabilization Center, we were able to form a partnership with the Riley County Police Department where we place a mental health co-responder with the Riley County Police. And in fact, we have two mental health co-responders, and their duty assignment is Riley County Police Department. They get all of their work responsibilities or work assignments from the Riley County Police Department, and their role is to be out in the community providing services to those individuals who law enforcement comes into contact with who seem to be dealing with a mental health problem. And so that provides a level of intervention that we didn't have several years ago, in that it's like we've got trained mental health professionals who are able to identify some of these individuals who you're referring to and to help facilitate access to treatment for them. And so that you present a good opportunity for me just to say that these services are available to all individuals, not only in Riley County, but in Pawnee's 10-county service area. People are able to self-refer, so they can walk into the facility, and the facility's at 1558 Hayes Drive. We do have law enforcement who will bring individuals to the Crisis Stabilization Center as they come into contact with them. Our local hospitals also refer individuals to the Crisis Stabilization Center who don't need a hospital level of care or who don't need to have any other physical health kinds of concerns be addressed in the emergency room or on the hospital floor. And these services are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year. In the first 2 months, we clearly saw most of the folks who use the Crisis Stabilization Center were from Riley County, Pottawatomie County, or Geary County, and that's really what we expected. What we saw was that 69% of all of the people who were admitted to the facility were from Riley County. 13% were from Pottawatomie County, and then 8% were from Geary County. And that, that's about what we expected to see, particularly with the facility being located right here in Riley County. We did have some folks who were from outside of our service area, but who were in Manhattan at the time that they needed access to crisis stabilization services. That represented a pretty small number of people. We had two folks who were here from Johnson County and one person from Dickinson County. And one person from Morris County. So a couple of people who weren't from this service area, but given just the college students that are here in the community and just the number of folks that come to Manhattan for a number of different reasons, that's not surprising. What we also saw was that we had about 34, and so it was a little bit more than half of the folks that use the Stabilization Center were women, and then a little under half were men. One of the questions I get is what age does the Crisis Stabilization Unit serve? And I'd like to, some of the clarification I need to add to that question is that for crisis stabilization services or crisis services in general, we serve all ages. Mm. And so, for example, whether you're 5 or 55 or 105, it doesn't matter. You can walk in at that 1558 Hayes Drive location, and there are master's prepared therapists who can address whatever your need is, who can meet with you and provide an assessment of what the situation is. But you have to be 18 in order to be admitted to the unit. So the unit itself is only for adults, but it is for men and women who are 18 years and older who need crisis stabilization services. If you're the parent of a child or you have somebody who's under 18 who needs services, then our job is to help make the appropriate referral to a facility that works with children and youth.
Okay. We need to take a quick break. We'll come back and continue our conversation with Robin Cole from Pawnee Mental Health after this on News Radio KMAN.